We are today going to look at the longest command in the Bible. Actually, it's a very short command, but what happens in the verses around this command is there's explanation given. And so it's interesting that this morning we're going to look at the longest command given in the Bible, and I'm sure if you were to try and guess what would that be, I'm not sure you could guess it. I know I would not guess that this one is the longest command in the Bible by way of explanation and verses that are added to it. And yet, it's not a suggestion. It's not just a good idea. It's much more than that. It's something that God expects us to do and to follow and to incorporate into our lives consistently, weekly, as we live our lives for Him. Interested? What are we talking about? Okay, very, very good. We're in a series entitled New Millennium Living. And really, we've just started this millennium. But what we are just doing is a couple of weeks, and we are studying what? The Ten Commandments is what we're doing. And what I'm doing is taking two of the commandments. Last week, we began just by understanding that God chose a people. They were the Jews. And way back when He began to work with them, He had a spokesman who saw a bush burning. And he went up to that bush and heard from God. And God said, "Go deliver my people." He says, "Who shall I tell them is sending me?" And He says, "I am." And He gave the sacred name of God. And that's all they knew. They go to Egypt. We see 10 plagues and just see what's going on. And imagine if you're one of the Jews just looking at that and just wondering, what is all this? Then they go into the wilderness and we see amazing provision of food and water and a pillar of fire. And you're wondering, well, who is this God? Then they go back to that mountain and receive these commands that I am sharing. These two are included in all the commands that were received by the nation of Israel. And so today, we're going to look at something that's rather interesting. I've entitled it, Keep Sunday Special. Keep Sunday Special. And we're going to be looking at Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 10. And in your Bible, it's on page 54. Now, it's interesting. Keep Sunday special, and that is the longest command. It is. Of the commandments, it's a short statement, but there's explanation with it. And there's more detail given to this idea by God for us than any of the other commandments. And I found that to be rather fascinating and interesting. All right, so let's do this. Let's bring up Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 10. And let's do this. Let's stand up. And we're going to read this together. There are times that I have you stand and we all read out of our Bible together. We're just going to read it off the screen this morning. And you can just imagine that as the Israelites were looking at these commands, they came down to this particular one. Okay, let's read it together. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien living within your gates. Now, we don't have a lot of these today, but it's an interesting idea. Go ahead and be seated if you would. We can read God's Word in this way, too, and as they did back in the Old Testament book of Nehemiah. The people stood and they read His Word. We don't always have to read out of a Bible. That's a good idea, and we do that often. You can also read it in PowerPoint, and God says, it's all good. It's good to me, just so you are reading my Word. All right, so on your outline, then, let's start through some of the key ideas, Sabbath day and holy. What in the world does this mean? And are we actually doing this, or are we following this? Okay, first thing on your outline, the term Sabbath means day of rest. Sabbath means a day of rest. In other words, the idea here is every seventh day you got to have a day off. God says, this is really important to me, that you take a day off so that you can recharge yourselves physically, spiritually, and emotionally. God said, I created you to be able to work and to have fellowship and relationship, but he said, what is very important to me by this command is that you've got to take a day off during the week. Your body is not designed to go nonstop, day after day, week after week. You will run into major problems if you do not observe this command. And the reality is, way too many people do not observe this. Now, I understand having to work and to make ends meet and things like that, but you must schedule in a time of rest, a portion of rest for your body to recover. Okay, second little term here, holy, means set apart. Set apart or different. Different. Set apart or different. In other words, you are to set this time aside to do something different than you normally do all through your week. Be set apart and be different. Now, you know what? This is pretty amazing because the Sabbath, the idea of the Sabbath here is to prevent burnout in our stress-filled world. God, in His wisdom, way back to 3,000 years ago, gave this command. And the reality is, it may be the most broken commandment in the Bible. There are others that get broken. But this may be the most broken commandment in the Bible. And what's the reality in society when you break this? You've got people, families, children, adults that are stressed to the max. That's the result of not obeying this command. All right. So, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Well, we look at that, and originally the Sabbath was on a Saturday back in that day and that time. And so, well, does it have to be on Saturday? Well, it could be on Saturday. Now, why did we move to church primarily? Not always. I've been at churches where they do Saturday services too. Why did we primarily move to Sunday to have church services? Right. The Lord, when He died and rose again, He rose again on a Sunday. And so hence the tradition now of observing the Sunday as the Sabbath. I'm not sure God really cares what day you do this, okay? I think He is more concerned whether it's Saturday or Sunday. It could even be Friday for some people. With such interesting, different work schedules, it's kind of a hard thing. I think you need to be aware of, I need to set some time aside. I need to figure out when I'm going to do that during the week. If you don't, you are headed for trouble. And we've got a society to prove it. And I know, I've had discussions with some other fathers about just too many things going on in the lives of our families and kids and stress and all these things. Not only do parents need to observe this, but young adults do. High school, junior high. We live in a stress-filled day and age and time. And God says, this is really important to me. And you look at all the other commands clustered around this. This one we kind of, well, that's okay, I can... Don't do that. We're headed for trouble. All right, now, the second question is, all right, if we are to set this day aside and make it holy, well, on your outline, what to do on your Sabbath? What to do on your Sabbath? Now what exactly are we supposed to do if we are to set it apart? All right, I'm going to give you some suggestions, and that's the rest of the outline, and the rest of our time this morning is just suggestions. What do we do? What do we do on our Sabbath? All right, number one then on your outline is, use the day to rest my body. Use the day to rest my body. In other words, you need to rest from work. You need to have something different on this day than the normal work routine that you have day in, day out, day in, day out, day in, day out. Use this time to rest my body. Now, who gave us an example to do this? Very good. God did. Now, why this command is the longest is we read verses 8 through 10. And then there's even more explanation beginning in verse 11. So let me go ahead and bring that up. It says this, "For in 6 days," he's continuing on from verse 10, obviously, "the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them." Read the next phrase with me. "But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." God himself said, "You know how important this command is to me and how much I want you to value this command is that I created everything and I took a break one day of the seven." And he's modeling it for us. Did God have to do that? Absolutely not. God is all powerful. He didn't have to rest. He never needs to rest like you and I do. That's one of his attributes, one of his characteristics. But he chose to do that. He rested on the seventh day. He gave us an example. He says, in your life, you must rest. You must take some time off. So what I really like about this is that it's a biblical idea to have a Sunday afternoon nap. I like that, don't you? Yeah. Sunday afternoon nap is a biblical idea. Don't ever let anybody tell you that it's not. It's good. Take some time. Lie down on the sofa. Relax. Stretch out. Take a nap. It's biblical. That is part of observing this command. So now, don't be a wise aleck or a smart aleck when you do this, when you're relating it to somebody, but it's okay to take a nap and enjoy this time. There's biblical grounds to take a Sunday afternoon nap. I like that, don't you? Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. In our church now, no, it is not. It is unbiblical to do that, so... All right. Like I said earlier, your body is not designed to go nonstop, day in and day out. It's interesting. You may be a workaholic, and you're going to eventually deal with this plan or this idea in the hospital. If you are a workaholic and you never stop, you're going to observe this command in the hospital sometime. Don't get to that point. God said this is important. Use this day to rest my body. Take time to sit down in the strato lounger, flip out the handle, put the feet up, recline, and just relax and rest. You are observing this command in part when you do that. I was almost tempted to change the stool out here and put a recliner up here this morning and do that, but I decided not to, but that would be an idea, just a practical example of what is going on. But this is Sunday morning, so I can't do it on Sunday morning. All right, next. Number two, then. First one is use this day to rest my body. Number two, use the day to what? Recharge my emotions. Use the day to recharge my emotions. Not only are you to take a Sunday afternoon nap, but you need to recharge your emotions. You've been going full bore all week, dealing with people, with issues, with paying bills, cooking meals, laundry, everything. Everything. And now it's just time to step away from that and say, I need to recharge a little bit. I need to have some time and some space to do that. Use this day to recharge my emotions. Okay, underneath that, work in time, include time for quietness. Include time for quietness. Quietness. In other words, we tend to be so frenzied with activity, always doing something. This is a day to include time for quietness, just to relax, just to be quiet. All right, we're going to do this right now. I don't want anybody to say anything. We are going to be quiet for 30 seconds, and some of you can't handle this. Are you ready? Be quiet. Shut your eyes. Thirty seconds of quietness. In the midst of everything you do, and what you and I do is important. I'm not saying that. Maybe you need to just take 15 minutes on a Sunday afternoon and just be quiet. No kids running around, no chasing the dog, no doing anything. Include time for quiet. We have far too little of this in our lives. We're so concerned if we're not doing something. Include time for quietness. It's interesting. In the, you can open your eyes now. No naps. All right. Include time for quietness. There's a verse in the Gospel of Mark. And this particular verse, they had been doing a lot of activities. Then because so many people were coming and going to see Jesus and the disciples, they did not even have a chance to eat. He said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So he's talking to the disciples here. And even Jesus, the point of this verse is Jesus modeled this for his disciples. You guys have been going nonstop. You've been doing good things. Stop. Quiet. Relax. Get away. Include in your day time for quietness. If you don't come apart, folks, and enjoy some quietness, you will come apart. And that's what's going on in our society today. B, include time for family. All right. So we're going to have some quiet time here. We're going to enjoy time just for ourselves, a short period of time. It's amazing what a 15 to 30 minute nap can do with quietness, how it can rejuvenate your soul and your spirit. Include time for family. And that means that hopefully during this day that some of that time will be devoted towards discussion, talking, relaxing, all these kind of things. It's interesting, in the book of Ecclesiastes, in the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes 9:9, if we could bring that verse up, it just talks, you know, it's kind of an interesting verse. Enjoy life with your wife, whom you love, all the days of this meaningless life that God has given to you under the sun, all your meaningless days. For this is your lot in life and your toilsome labor under the sun. In Ecclesiastes, a lot of people just cut this verse off. Enjoy life with your wife, whom you love. And I think the rest of that verse helps us to understand that, you know, it's just day in, day out, day in, day out, day in, day out. And it seems like we're on a treadmill going nowhere at times. One of the points of this verse is to say, you know what? Don't forget your family. Don't forget those that you care about. Enjoy life with your wife, whom you love. Enjoy life with your children. And maybe part of this day involves a short period of time when you spend time talking to your wife and playing with the kids. Or you may play with your wife and talk to the kids. I don't care. Either way, you can do it. It's all good. It's about marriage. It's all good. All right. This is not wasting time. Sometimes get to the point where if we're not doing something or if it's not happening, we're wasting time. No, you're not. This is time with family. It's time for relationship. It's time to do that. Number C, include, here we go, what to do on your Sabbath, include time for fellowship. Now, because our church only has one service, we hope to rectify that in the future at some time, and we've already talked about those things, include time for fellowship. Well, we can give different options for people coming together for fellowship. And we have two ways to do this. Hebrews 10, verse 25 says this, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Do not give up meeting together. And one application of that can be the way that we worship today in a worship service, enjoying fellowship, enjoying worshiping the Lord in a number of different ways. To be with other believers, I believe, is part of the intent of this, of recharging those emotions. Why do you come to church? Well, we come to church first to worship God. And we do that in a number of different ways. But we also come to church to fellowship, to do all kinds of things together. And this is the way that God has put together in this day for us to fellowship together. Primarily as a large group meeting, Acts chapter 2, where they met in the temple courts, or a larger group meeting. And also in Acts chapter 2, the next verse says they met house to house. So we have large meeting, small meeting. Large meeting, small meeting, and that's what we're trying to do. Spend time together. What is your attitude? Psalm 122, verse 1. A song of ascents of David. Read this verse with me. "I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord." Now, let us go to the house of the Lord. When you come here then, as part of your Sabbath, to be with others in God's presence, not that He's not everywhere, but you should come with an attitude that said, "I rejoice to go. I look forward to going. I want to be there." That should be our attitude. That's what we should be doing. Okay. What to do on your Sabbath? Use the day to rest my body. Use the day to recharge my emotions. And finally, use the day to refresh my spirit. It's all about, in one sense, yes, it's about God. It's all about God, but it's about what are you doing? How do you refresh your spirit? How do you go about doing that? Life is brutal. Life is difficult. Life is hard. You're out there in the world, you get beaten up during the week. You need to come to a place, spend time with the people that can refresh your spirit. Let's look at Psalm 95 and verse 6. "Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." Well, obviously, to refresh our spirit involves spending time, an amount of time with God. To hear what He says, how to live our lives, what to do in the day-to-day routine, the day-to-day grind of life. To look into the Lord. It's to spend time being quiet. It's to spend time with Him. Making that a priority in our lives. Spending time with Him. The only way you're going to refresh your spirit, you're not going to do it through calisthenics, probably. You're not going to do it eating a healthy diet. The only way you're going to refresh your spirit, which is put into you by God, is to spend time with Him. That is how you refresh your spirit. That's the only way. You can't do it by not being here or not being with other believers. I believe that God refreshes your spirit, but He does this in a number of ways. You need to be in church. That would be one way. Another way is to spend time with Him. Some in this room may never get their spirit refreshed because they don't spend any time with Him outside of this room. You've got to do that. You've got to spend time with Him. You need a spiritual tune-up when you come on Sunday morning. And I recognize that. My son Daniel is working now, and he works at one of my best friend's garage. And so it's interesting, with Daniel doing that job, one of the things he's learning now is what is a kind of a minor tune-up. There's a difference between a minor and a major tune-up. Sometimes we need major tune-ups when we come on a Sunday morning. We've just been blasted all through the week. I mean, and you're coming here, you're kind of dragging in the back. One of the things you need to do is, if you come in that way, you need to take a few minutes at the beginning of the service and say, "God, I need a major tune-up today. speak to me, and just let His Spirit work in you. God knows what He's doing within you. And just open your heart to that. Man, a major tune-up and with the vehicle and involves probably a timing belt. It could be a water pump. You know, I mean, these are major things on a Honda. I know, because I had one recently on my car. But a minor tune-up might be where most of us live, where maybe we need to have the air filter blown out. Maybe the spark plug's changed. Maybe the cap on the rotor, you know, done. Maybe something like that. Come in, minor tune-up, major tune-up. Know where you're at when you're coming to church on a Sunday. And I would suggest one of the best things is spend a few minutes before the time we start the service just saying, God, sit out in your car for a minute. How's that? There you're quiet at least most of the time. And just say, God, I need a minor tune-up today. I need a major tune-up. I spent some time talking to someone and sharing some things today and probably closer to a major tune-up and was open and honest with me about those things. And so we talked about that. All right. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Short statement, longest command, explanation, by way of explanation in the Bible. God says this is really important. This is not a suggestion. This is not a good idea. This is my idea for you. I created you, and you need to observe this once a week. Because if you don't, I, God, your Creator, knows how far you can go, and you will burn yourself out. You will stress yourself out, and you will live a miserable life. You need the day to refocus and refurbish your soul and your spirit in Him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. We recognize that it is so important that we understand how what it means to you to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And I pray for probably the majority of us in here regularly break this command because we're so busy and we're doing good things, Lord, but it's wrong. How I pray that we'll take time to refresh our spirit, our emotions, to be with your people. Lord, we thank you that you care enough about us to give us the Ten Commandments, that as we look at them, they're for our benefit. They're for us to know how to live lives that please you. Lord, thank you for just this short time this morning, and I pray that we'll take it to heart. And this afternoon, we're going to have a lot of people in this church enjoying a Sunday afternoon nap because it's biblical. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you that we can give to you, and we do that gratefully. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.